I'm Joe Newberry. Whenever my banjo takes me near Newark, Delaware, I listen to WVUD 91.3 FM.
You are listening to 91.3 FM, WVUD, and WVUD HD1 Newark. The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Mando Richard here, and tonight on the Music Room, we're going to be reaching out to Billy Yost, the guitar player from a band called The Kickback, which will be appearing in town on Sunday. That would be up at Jupiter Records, 2200 Marsh Road up in Wilmington. And they seem like a very interesting band. I think you're going to enjoy them. So while I am getting Billy on the phone, I'm going to let you hear the first track from their new CD. The name of their new CD is Sorry All Over the Place. So here we go. The Kickback and a song they call Sting's Teacher Years here on the Music Room on WVUD. If I pushed all the buttons right, Billy Yost is on the phone. Are you there?
I hope so.
You are. Let me just...
How are you, Richard?
You sound awfully calm for a guy who puts on Batman pajamas while on stage.
Well, I think the stage tends to be a pretty good release for an otherwise Midwestern and sort of collected upbringing, I think.
A collected upbringing. I like that. Billy is the leader and the sole founding member left in a band that started off in Vermilion, South Dakota, and you call yourselves The Kickback, and you're now based out of?
Chicago, Illinois, Cook County.
Cook County, wow. How does it feel to be from South Dakota at a time when, for once, the entire American political system has its eye on the state of South Dakota?
It's been interesting because ordinarily whenever anybody asks where I'm from and you tell them, they will first say that you're the first person that you've ever met from South Dakota, they've ever met from South Dakota. And then they follow it up just calling South Dakota, Dakota, and you keep having to prompt them that there's actually two of them. And it's actually a bit of an issue for the Northerners, at least. So it's weird actually having something to talk about right now, being from the state. You know, I loved it there, but what's going on there now is a little scary.
Yeah. Well, while they're in the middle of a four-way race for the United States Senate, you're down there in Chicago making really interesting music.
Well, I appreciate that. I think one of the guys that's in the race back in South Dakota was he was president of the university. He was student body president with my uncle. That's kind of how all of the South Dakota connections work. If you know one person from there, you know about 75. And so Larry Pressler and my uncle were the vice and president of USD however many years back. But
that's pretty funny. You know, yeah, down in Delaware, we got the same issue. When I first moved here over 30 years ago, Delaware, isn't that one of those little states up by Massachusetts?
Yeah. Is that where Boston is? Right?
How close to Boston are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is when Easterners go out to your native part of the land, they tend to do things like call you and say, I'm in Wyoming. We thought since we're just one state away, we'd drive right up.
Oh, yeah. That's the glories of touring the West is that every city is about 16 hours apart, I think. So you stay on the road for quite a long time if you're going to decide to take a trip out West. Going to be out there a while.
You raised the issue of touring. I didn't. You've got one of the most geographically challenged tours I've ever seen. I mean, you start off going to Nebraska, then you went back, and then and then now you're going to go to D.C., and then down to North Carolina, then up to us in Delaware, and then on to New York, and before you know it, you're out in San Francisco. My favorite one is you've got a job in Denver, and then the next day in Tempe, Arizona?
Yeah, it's... We like to we wanted to kind of cover the whole nation this time, and unfortunately that means economically you can't sort of fan out and take your sweet time and just sort of drift from one city to the next. So this tour is, I believe the total tally was 138 hours in the van.
Wow.
Is what we're looking at. I can't remember the mileage, but yeah, it's going to be nuts. You know, booking in different cities is a pretty hard job. And between our manager and Johnny, who's in the band who helps book, it's a full-time job. And you just have to go where they want music. And so in this case, we're playing a bunch of new markets that we've never been. And we're just hoping the van can make it.
Well,
I'm knocking on wood right now.
We've had three independent releases now, and I think you're really trying to gear up on this tour to try and find a label who will sign you and release your newly recorded album.
We're in talks with I think three labels right now, and we're hoping to draw a little more interest. It took us a really long time to record our first full length, and that was partly because I didn't want to do it until I felt like we could do it the way I wanted to. And so things with the band tend to go a little slower than I think a lot of other bands do. We write a lot of songs, but our pacing at getting them out and into the public isn't quite as quick. But this go around, I think we're doing things right, and it's certainly moving a lot slower than any of us would like. But I imagine we'll have the album out within the year, in the new year, early for sure.
And now you're going to be playing in the area on this coming Sunday, which, if my memory serves me right, would be the 19th, at Jupiter Records, store up at 2200 Marsh Road up in Wilmington. That's an interesting venue to play in.
We go where people are willing to have us. So sometimes that means you play the coolest venue in town. I don't know much about the store. Sometimes that means you're playing at a record store. I'm sure it's an awesome store. Sometimes that means we're playing a couple house parties on this tour for sure that will be very much out of hand, and I'm positive of that. But wherever we can get people, we're willing to go there. That's just kind of how we tour. And some of our best shows have been broken up by the police, and sometimes we play amazing clubs that are, you know, Nirvana played there in 92, and you're playing to four people. So it just is kind of the luck of the draw, and you go where people want you.
Well, my band has never had the police called. Well, maybe to shut us down and have us stop playing, but...
You know. they showed up and asked you to tune?
Yes. Tune it or die, guys. Now, in the band right now, you've got yourself and three people who've joined over the past couple of years. I mean, you've got one guy from Mexico, don't you?
Yeah, Johnny is originally from Mexico. That's where he was born and grew up. And
Johnny Ifrigan.
Johnny Ifrigan moved here when he was a little kid. But Johnny speaks Spanish and French. and makes the rest of us feel, you know, pretty underwhelming as individuals.
Well, what's special about Eamon and Ryan?
Eamon is a soccer fanatic, so you two might have something in common. And Eamon is an amazing illustrator and does all of our artwork. It's sort of like having a designer in-house who has to put up with all your terrible ideas. but he's, you know, his stuff has appeared in the New Republic and some other periodicals. He's really talented. And Ryan's like a DJ. That's what he does for his day job a lot of the time. And his fortune, like, I just started asking him to start making some playlists, because there's this weird art to DJing, right? Not like the sort of electronic music,
yeah,
button pushing stuff, but the guy can put together a soul mix that will ruin your day in like the best way possible. So I like our crew right now.
Well, this is Eamon Donnelly and Ryan Farnham you're talking about, and
yes, sir,
and you guys and Johnny and we'll all be up at Jupiter Records on Sunday. Now, one thing we neglected to do is we neglected to let you talk about the song that we open up the show with, which is called Sting's Teacher Years.
Yeah. That is a song that's now going to be available in a couple of different versions. And it's a song I wrote kind of right when I got out of college a few years ago. And it's just sort of about being terrified and thinking you have control and knowing deep down that you really don't. I got my teaching degree at the University of South Dakota in sunny Vermilion, South Dakota. And I love the Police, and Sting was kind of somebody that I looked up to, because while I was doing my teaching degree, I kind of knew I was just going to be a substitute and try and make the band thing work. And there's a few sort of famous rock guys that were formerly teachers. There was Sting, and there was Robert Pollard from Guided by Voices, and I think the guy from Dire Straits was
Mark Knopfler.
I think Knopfler might have been a teacher, or maybe somebody told me that, and now I'm just repeating hearsay.
Huh.
I'm gonna double back on that.
Well, I did not know that about Sting's background.
Yeah, I know for sure that Sting, Gordon Summers, was an English teacher. So for a very short time, the Police made it a little faster than we did. But regardless, I'm still doing it part-time. So.
Well, let's let the folks hear another track from your upcoming release. Tell us about the song Leo, which is a little bit more mellow than a lot of the songs.
Yeah, weirdly, I mean, nobody in the whole world has heard this other than whoever's going to hear this now. I'm not sure how Jesse's letting these be played on the air. So this is like the world premiere of this song, which is crazy.
Whoa, but, the world premiere on WVUD.
Yeah, you got it. This song is about my math teacher in high school. I wanted to write a song about somebody who would never get a song written about them. And in this case, this was Leo, this guy named Leo. He's an amazing guy. He used to go hunting with my dad. He was just like a good guy. He was on the league bowling team in Beersford, South Dakota, where I'm from. It's a town of 2,000 people. And I wanted to write a song for one guy that would never get a song. And if I told him there was a song written about him, he would be very upset and probably a little creeped out. But, I just wrote Leo a song, and it gets a little weird towards the end. But the song sort of winds up that he was such a good guy that he just had to die because there aren't any good people left. that's where the song went. But,
you killed off your favorite math teacher? Oh,
well, yeah. I see. It was just sort of a weird ode to a guy I really looked up to, and I don't think I will ever play the song for him.
But you're going to let me play it for the folks here, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here comes Leo by The Kickback on The Music Room on WVUD.
No one wins if I don't take off. Flame.
Billy Yost, who's on the phone with us right now from the wilds of Chicago, wrote that song in honor of his math teacher, Leo. You're on the Music Room on WVUD, and we've got Billy from the Kickback on the line with us live this afternoon. You've got a fair amount of online presence, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I guess it's sort of important in this day and age, but also I kind of have a lot of other interests that it's fun to engage with your fans about, be it, you know, Batman or other stuff you enjoy.
Oh, you got to tell the story about what happened in Lincoln, Nebraska, at a place you like to play, a showcase you've played before, and
yeah,
somebody gave
really
you a full Batman costume
on Saturday night. But a friend wrote on our page a couple days beforehand, "Hey, if I buy these, will you wear them at Lincoln Calling?" which was the name of the festival. And it was a pair of full size like zip up Batman pajamas, you know, just shy of having footies, but they covered most of your body, and they had a cape on the back and the whole works. And I wanted those pajamas so bad, I said, absolutely. And I didn't really think he'd follow through, but we were up on stage, and I just saw a bag hanging from an arm up above everybody, and I sort of knew what it was. And so I grabbed the pajamas, and the last song we play tends to get a little nuts, and so I put the pajamas on for that particular song. And at the end, I remembered that I had the cape, and I figured that I should probably try to make use of the cape. And so I ran into the crowd and sort of parted the crowd and started sprinting up to the stage. And I tried to jump, you know, sort of bat glide, if you will, over Ryan's drums, but I didn't really, not too well anyway. And I sort of took out Ryan and about half of his kit, and then Ryan sort of pushed the rest of his kit over, and my guitar wound up getting pretty cut up pretty badly. It's at the shop right now, sort of going under emergency surgery. But
it'll be ready by the time you leave for D.C., won't it?
Yeah, it will. I'm actually kind of waiting on the call as we speak, so I'm hoping I can pick it up tonight.
Well, again, who's coming up with you? You know, when you appear in Wilmington on Sunday the 19th, Jupiter Records?
That's an excellent question. I think our friends Scantron are playing, which actually Eamon's brother Will is a part of, and our friend...
Tim Maron?
Yeah.
Tim Maron is the other act, I think. But
okay.
See, I was trying to get you to repeat for the folks at home the names of your cohorts in the Kickback.
Yeah, absolutely. We have Eamon Donnelly, who is an East Coaster by birth, on bass, guitar, and vocals. And then we have Johnny Eifergen on guitar and keys. And then we've got Ryan Farnham on percussion, and I sing and play guitar.
Excellent. Well, I'll try and stop by on Sunday to say hi. I've really enjoyed the music that Jesse, your manager, sent to us, and
I think
Phil Chinitz, our music director, has as well. We're going to close down here with, you think you selected White Lodge.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about this one.
Oh, tell you about the song?
Yeah.
There's a television show that was on the early 90s called Twin Peaks.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, it's actually going to be coming back in a couple of years. They just decided to reboot it. And I sort of had it had a really kind of profound impact on me when I started watching the series a few years ago. And around the time I wrote Sing's Teacher Years, I'd started watching this show, and I'd moved it back in with my folks and was kind of trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing. And
playing rock and roll.
Yeah, or just trying to figure out a way to make it happen. And I sort of convinced myself that the main character of the show is named Special Agent Dale Cooper, and he's sort of the guy every guy hopes that he can be, this very wise yet very masculine yet very sensitive and understanding man. And I started trying to live more like Agent Dale Cooper, and it worked for a little while, but you know how those things go. But I wrote a song kind of as a tribute to that experience.
Mr. Yost, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
It was my pleasure, Richard. Thanks so much.
All right. And here we go, the kickback with White Lodge on WVUD.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.